You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And well, as we chat early on this Sunday morning, that's because it's a very special episode. The Rockets late Saturday night did finally make a move in free agency outside of their own players, signing PJ Tucker, longtime forward of the Phoenix Suns, played after the trade deadline with the Toronto Raptors this past year. But it continues a theme that we've seen throughout the first day of free agency, well, now day and a half for the Rockets, which is an emphasis on defense, specifically at the wing spot. We know they're interested in Andre Iguodala, seemed to get some traction, but all in all, I think we all expected him to go back to the Golden State Warriors, which he did. There has been the rumor for Amon Shumpert of the Cavaliers, and then ultimately signing PJ Tucker. So it's a pretty clear emphasis when you look at all three of those guys to get more 3-and-D production, but especially the D. I would say defensive versatility is the biggest thing, because when you look at the wing spots right now, you have Trevor Ariza starting as your small forward who you trust, but Ryan Anderson, certainly he can't defend in space. And then off the bench, I guess your backup small forward at the moment, well, before PJ Tucker, would have been Eric Gordon, but Eric is not much of a defender anyway. He's better than you might think because he's fairly strong, but he's certainly not a lockdown type. Now with PJ Tucker, that gives you two guys in Tucker and Ariza, both hard-nosed veterans, 32 years old, who you can trust to go out there and defend a wide range of personnel. So I think that's big for the Rockets. I saw some people pointing out during the day yesterday that in today's NBA, you need at least two defenders on the wing who can go out and defend at a high level. And now with Ariza and Tucker, they have that. There had been reports that the Rockets were interested in Tucker before, but to me, he never seemed a mid-level exception target. This is a guy who, when you look at one of the better perimeter defenders in the NBA and someone who can shoot threes at a high level, 35% on the year last year, but actually 40% after the trade to Toronto, in today's NBA, that typically profiles above $10 million a year. So I never really thought he'd be a mid-level exception target, which he is. 4 years, $32 million, actually a little less than the mid-level exception because they're going to give a small portion to Zhou Qi out of China, as we discussed yesterday. So based on that, I know the Rockets have had interest in him in the past, and he fit well. It just seemed like a stretch for him to be actually available at that mid-level exception money for the Rockets. Nonetheless, that seems to be what happened. It's a great deal. Apparently, according to Brian Windhorst of ESPN, Chris Paul was actively involved in the recruitment, and it's great to see, because if you're a team like the Rockets, with Chris Paul, with James Harden, maybe the second best contending situation in the entire NBA after the Golden State Warriors, you should be able to get bargain deals, to get guys to sign for contracts that might otherwise be unrealistic. And that's what the PJ Tucker deal at 4 for $32 million the last year, not even fully guaranteed, certainly feels like. It's a bargain contract for a guy who can defend at a very high level and also shoot threes respectively. I don't think that he's Andre Iguodala. He's certainly good, but I think you would prefer Iguodala. That was just a dream scenario that was unlikely for the Rockets with their finances, and when the Warriors committed to offering 3 years, $45 million, that was it. But he's certainly better, in my opinion, than Amon Shumpert. I never had a problem with the Shumpert rumor, and my guess is that that's probably not going to happen now. I'll talk about that momentarily. But Tucker's a more proven, reliable shooter. We're just a year removed from when Shumpert shot below 30% from three. Tucker, he's a little better defender, but he's a more consistent shooter as well. Always in the 30s, mid-30s for his career, and actually 40%, as I said, after the move to Toronto. So Tucker's a little more proven. He costs your mid-level exception, but to me, he's worth it. Plays most of his time at small forward, I believe just over 80% last year, but did play close to 20% at the power forward spot, which shows you has versatility to play that small ball forward, which is important with how the Rockets want to play. We know they're going to play small a decent fit. So he does have experience in that small ball four, despite being just 6'5". He's a very, very strong and physical player. I'm sure many of you remember him from the University of Texas when he played his college ball there. So what he lacks in height, he makes up for in just raw physicality. I think we saw that guarding James Harden. We talked about him playing mostly small forward and power forward. Well, he can also guard guards, as we saw him do against James over the years, and he's actually given James a lot of fits with his unique brand of physicality and how active he is with his hands. So when you think PJ Tucker, you think defensive versatility. That's something the Rockets clearly went after in all three of these guys, and they got it, and it should help them a lot. And to me, it makes them a better basketball fit overall. In short, the way I look at their acquisitions thus far, I see Chris Paul taking over the Pat Beverly minutes and obviously being an upgrade there, and then PJ Tucker taking over more of the Lou Williams minutes. And of course, PJ and Lou do not exactly play the same positions. I'm aware of that, but it's the same principle as when Lou Williams took over the Corey Brewer minutes, and they did not play the same positions. Essentially, the Rockets went after Lou Williams. It was a fit that looked better on paper than it actually played out on the floor. And my feeling is that a lot of the skills that Lou had were kind of duplicates with Eric Gordon, to a small extent with Pat Beverly. And so even though it looked like a good fit on paper, it never meshed to the extent that we thought when they traded for Lou. In some ways, I actually thought they suffered a defensive drop-off from when they had Corey Brewer before that as your wing off the bench because of the versatility he offered you defensively. Now, the flip side is that Corey just did not hit threes at a nearly high enough level to be playable, and I think we all understand that. So I'm certainly not saying the Rockets missed Corey Brewer, but in theory, if a better shooting version of Corey Brewer exists, I think that was a better fit for the Rockets and their rotation than Lou Williams, who for whatever reason, like I said, maybe it's too much offense, maybe not enough balls to go around, maybe just too much of his individual skill set overlaps with Eric Gordon. There are a lot of theories, but the bottom line is a better defending, a better shooting version of Corey Brewer, you could argue, would fit better than Lou Williams did. And I think that's what the Rockets feel like they have with PJ Tucker, a guy who can defend like Brewer, but even better, and of course, certainly a much better shooter. So it gives you back that versatility that I think the Rockets had. Shoot, you can go back to the 2014-2015 season when Brewer was playing at his best, and then you also had Trevor Ariza. It gives you the defensive versatility and options to switch that they had back then. So I think it's a better fit. You're a better basketball team with PJ Tucker than Lou Williams, and you're certainly a better basketball team with Chris Paul than Pat Beverly. So the Rockets, relative to a week ago, I think these are two big steps forward. As I said, I didn't really expect Tucker, with how good he is defensively, his ability to shoot, his flexibility on the defensive end. Guys like that in this cap environment don't go for the mid-level exception, or actually a little less than the mid-level exception, based on their ability to also sign Joe Chi. But when you have Chris Paul and James Harden, you're a destination. And so the Rockets are able to go out and get an impact acquisition at a bargain price. So kudos to them for that. Now, the interesting thing about Tucker, certainly he fits like a glove in the rotation. You can see 20, 25 minutes per game, easy. But the interesting thing about this acquisition is how it impacts everything else that we know the Rockets are working on in free agency. As far as any potential pursuit of a third star, such as Carmelo Anthony, as I said on yesterday's podcast, I don't think this really relates to that much at all, because the key to unlocking a third star is going to be finding a taker for Ryan Anderson. Always has been, always will be. So whether you spend your non-guaranteed via trade, your mid-level exception, those are all kind of small potatoes compared to the big picture goal of adding a third star, because that's going to be, if that's going to happen, it's going to take much bigger financial funds than the mid-level, the non-guarantees, which could get you up to $11 million, etc. So if you want to add a third star, if that's your focus, it can still happen, but it's always going to be about moving Ryan Anderson. This is not really tied to that. Where it gets really interesting is the Iman Shumpert rumor, which broke late yesterday afternoon, but was never finalized, and then we haven't heard much since then. My guess is it might make the Rockets pull back. It doesn't have to, but now with PJ Tucker in place, I just don't see the minutes for Iman Shumpert on this roster, because Tucker plays so similarly, but just better. So essentially, you could still trade for Shumpert, but he wouldn't have a clear rotation role. So is that really the best use of those 11 million in non-guaranteed salaries. That's why I'm skeptical. I think Shumpert was an okay fallback, but Tucker does a lot of the same things just better. Now, the case to still make the Shumpert trade, as I said yesterday, at some point, you do need to consolidate those non-guaranteed salaries. And beyond that, even though you have to wait 60 days after trading for Shumpert to then trade him again, at least as part of a package, you could trade him again immediately with just his, by himself, a $10 million figure. But if there was a market right now for just Shumpert, you'd probably see the Cleveland making that trade, or the Rockets doing a three-way trade right now. If the Rockets were trading for Shumpert just straight up to keep him, to me, it would be a sign that either a combination of either they see him in the rotation or they want that figure for down the road. I don't think you'd see a report of the Rockets trading for Amon Shumpert if they had a three-way deal lined up right now. So with Tucker added and not a clear rotation spot for Shumpert, my guess is that the Rockets take a longer look around the league to see what they might be able to do with that $11 million in non-guaranteed money. Now, they could ask Toronto to play ball in a sign-and-trade, and it would create a small trade exception for Toronto. So they could go that route, but to this point, that doesn't seem likely. According to various reports out there, they're using their mid-level exception on PJ Tucker. So in theory, they could offer those same things to Toronto and essentially move it, but for right now, that doesn't seem to be the plan. So as far as what the Rockets do with that exception, they could still do it for Shumpert because they would still, in theory, have the value of then having Shumpert's $10 million contract to allocate in trades later in the offseason or at the trade deadline. Having that salary filler could help. So I'm not going to say that you can't use Shumpert now. And in theory, every bit of depth helps. Certainly, he's an accomplished NBA player, a lesser 3-and-D guy than Tucker. So in theory, you would add more depth. You could still have him as salary filler. However, my bet is that the Rockets would not do it at this point in time. Maybe they'd consider doing it later, but it makes sense now for them to pull back because they don't really have a lot of depth up front. We have to see what happens with Nene at the center spot in his contract negotiations. Then there's not really a backup power forward. Now, to be fair, the Rockets are going to play small a lot, so I think in some senses, PJ Tucker might be your backup power forward. But regardless, I think you'd like to have a little more depth at that spot, especially after trading both Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell. So while you could use Amon Shumpert in some ways, it doesn't necessarily kill the deal. At the same time, adding Tucker might make it to where the Rockets, you know, at least for a few days, look around the league a little longer to see if maybe there's a little better fit for those non-guarantees than Shumpert. You could also look at the backup point guard spot. Now, I know the Rockets, most of the guard rotation is going to be Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon with either Paul or Harden as your point guard. I'm using air quotes when I say that because, well, they're both point guards. But one of those guys is your quarterback at all times. But you could also add a proven true point guard behind those guys if you want to rest Chris Paul or James Harden, which you probably do over the course of the 82-game season a lot, because you don't really have a proven backup point guard at this juncture. So those things all seem to be a closer short-term need than Amon Shumpert, so that's why I would expect the Rockets to look around the league and see if anything better might can happen with those non-guaranteed contracts before doing it. By the way, another reason you might want to wait, when I was looking at the Shumpert possibility yesterday, it seems to be the non-guaranteeds plus Chinonu Onuwaku that are required to make that deal work. Well, right now, Chinonu Onuwaku is your backup center, and drafted high in the second round in the 2016 draft, he's a guy the Rockets believe a lot in. Now, I'm not saying they won't move him, not saying he's a super prospect or anything like that, but he's a solid prospect, and with the uncertainty regarding Nene's situation, that's another reason why I could see the Rockets pulling back on the Amon Shumpert thing, because Onuwaku right now is not someone you can just throw into a deal haphazardly. You've got to be careful when it comes to dealing him, because right now there's a clearer path for Onuwaku to have minutes than there is for Amon Shumpert. So my guess, while if the Rockets use their mid-level exception to sign Tucker, those non-guarantees would still be there to trade for Shumpert. My guess is that the Rockets, while it doesn't kill the deal for Shumpert, because you could still use depth, he is still a decent player, and you could use him down the road as salary filler. I don't think this kills the Shumpert deal. I do think it might slow it down for a few days while Daryl Morey gauges the market, sees what happens with Nene, sees if there are other point guards, power forwards that might be a more immediate help, because while at some point the Rockets do need to consolidate those non-guaranteed relatively soon into a longer-term asset because of the issues of roster spots and so on and so forth, there's no real incentive to do a Shumpert deal now because there's not a need at that position. So I don't think the Shumpert possibility is off the table, but I don't think it's imminent either. My guess is that the Rockets take a little bit more of a patient approach these next couple of days to feel out what might happen on the market. Now, the final piece of the puzzle, assuming this report is true, that PJ is going to take the mid-level exception, that means the mid-level exception is not going to be there for Nene. And of course, if you want to figure out what happened with Nene, of course, I'm sure a lot of you saw it on Twitter yesterday, but you can also listen to my podcast. The Rockets offered him 4 years, $15 million. That's the max non-Bird exception, which the Rockets have to give to Nene. That's without dipping into their mid-level exception. So Nene accepted it, and then, as we found out yesterday, the most the Rockets can offer under the salary cap is 3 years, $10.9 million, because of a quirk involving age 38. I didn't think Nene would be applied the age 38 rule, because he'll be 37 on July 1st, on the fourth year of the contract. Usually everything dates to the start of the new fiscal. That's how big business works. That's how the Rockets interpreted the rule, but it's a new collective bargaining agreement. We're learning new things all the time, and apparently the way the league interprets it is that if you were at 38 at any point in that fourth season, then that age 38 rule applies to you, and in this case, the four-year contract would not be legal. And Nene is hurt because he thought he had $15 million in guaranteed money. Apparently that's what matters to him, is the guaranteed figure. Right now, the most the Rockets can offer him guaranteed without dipping into the mid-level exception is $10.9 million. And at present, that's enough for Nene to test the market and not sign the deal. Now, hopefully with time, cooler heads can prevail, because the honest truth is that it's not the Rockets' fault. No one's trying to swindle him. It's not like the Rockets pulled back the offer. It's just an unfortunate situation. And you have to hope that over time, I know it sucks when you say you have this much guaranteed and then you don't, but it's an honest mistake. The Rockets and Nene were good for each other. They have a great relationship. And so give it a little bit of time, and hopefully this can be worked out. The one challenging factor is that we said before, as of yesterday, that while it was likely the Rockets could keep Nene regardless, but if push came to shove, they could use that mid-level exception. And my guess was that they would be willing to do that, because I thought that the guys they could reasonably get at the mid-level mark would not be as good as Nene. So worst case, they would hold it open for Nene and, well, just not use their mid-level exception money elsewhere if it came to it. Well, as it turned out, P.J. Tucker, I think you would argue that he is more important than Nene, because this is a guy who's probably going to play 25 or so minutes a game. This is a true rotation player, which I didn't know you could get for the mid-level exception. So it's probably worth it to sign Tucker for the mid-level exception, even if it costs you Nene. But we obviously hope that doesn't happen. And from a financial standpoint, what this means is that the Rockets do not have the mid-level exception anymore to offer Nene. It's either that non-Bird exception amount of 3 years, $10.9 million, i.e. the same deal as before, but without the fourth year. It's either that, or Nene just can't get a deal with the Rockets, because they're not going to be able to go under the salary cap at this point in time. They don't have the mid-level exception unless, well, you know, things could change if Toronto was willing to do a sign-and-trade with the non-guaranteeds. But right now, I'm just assuming that it's for the mid-level exception, which is the report out there from Jonathan Fagan in the Houston Chronicle. If Toronto does a trade with the non-guaranteeds, we can deal with that at a later time. And maybe that's an option, that if worst comes to worst and over the next few days, Daryl Morey can't work out a deal with Nene, negotiations still remain frigid. Maybe at the very end, he can go to Toronto and seek a sign and trade. I guess that's one option he has at his disposal. But for now, if PJ Tucker is your mid-level exception, and that's the report as we know it, then Nene, it's either 3 years, $10.9 million, or he walks and the deal isn't there for him. So it's a little threatening. You don't want to lose Nene, but I understand, because PJ Tucker, he's a little more versatile. He's certainly younger, so he's probably more valuable. That said, with Nene, it's the same as yesterday. You just have to hope that cooler heads prevail. I think he was already giving up a lot of money as is. It's not like he's taking the best offer on the market. So I think he understands that he's willing, as a lot of veterans do at his age, to do things to help put a contender around him. It's obviously in his best interest for the Rockets as a team to take the non-Bird amount so that you can use the mid-level on PJ Tucker and have both of those guys rather than just use the mid-level on the nay. So hopefully once you get away from the sting of initially losing that $15 million guaranteed figure, hopefully Nene comes back to the table. If for some reason he does not, it does trickle down to your other negotiations, because first off, I don't know if you trade Anuaku in that scenario, because he'd be your backup center. And then secondly, that might be a case where you look around the league for a potential backup center with those non-guaranteeds to use, either a guy under contract now or a sign-and-trade that you can do with those contracts. But either way, that's going to be the thing to watch for the Rockets going forward, is what happens with Nene. I won't say it's impossible for him to get more than the non-Bird amount, because in theory, you could, at the last minute, go back to Toronto and get them to do a sign-and-trade for PJ and get that same four-year, $32 million figure. It's not impossible, and it's not like Toronto and Houston are huge competitors, so there's not really a need for Toronto to play hardball here. So I guess it's an option at the Rockets' disposal. But right now, with the Rockets putting out to Fagan that PJ is going to be using their mid-level exception, it seems pretty clear that the goal for the Rockets is to get Nene to take that same contract, but without the fourth year. So stay tuned. We'll see. Hopefully they can mend those feelings the next couple of days, but that's going to be the short-term thing to watch. By the way, last thing about Nene I want to touch on. I've seen a few people on Twitter, and especially on Clutch Fans, saying, well, why can't someone else like Harden restructure and give some of his money to Nene? Folks, that is highly, highly illegal. There is no way for Nene to get more money unless they dip into their mid-level exception, which now went to PJ Tucker, or unless they go under the salary cap, which is incredibly unlikely now they did the trade for Chris Paul. This is the most the Rockets can reasonably offer. Contracts can't really be renegotiated, especially to allocate them to another player. It doesn't work that way. I know you hear a lot about Kevin Durant doing that in Golden State. Well, that's because he's a free agent. He's getting a new contract. James Harden is not a free agent, so neither James or anyone else can make a deal happen for Nene. It's got to happen within the constructs of the existing collective bargaining agreement. So the Rockets are doing what they can, but now they just have to sit and wait and hope that over this long holiday weekend that some of the feelings eventually subside and Nene realizes that it's just an honest mistake. Now, besides Nene, the other things to watch going forward, the Rockets have now used their mid-level exception, so I'd be surprised if anything's imminent from a free agency perspective now. I guess the Rockets do go around the league feeling out other non-guaranteed potential deals besides Amon Shumpert. We'll, of course, watch to see what happens with Nene, but besides those, there's nothing imminent in free agency because the Rockets are now an over-the-cap team, and they did use their mid-level exception. Now, they do have their biannual exception that's a little bit lower, but I would be surprised if the Rockets use it this early, simply because if you want to get the best bang for your buck with a guy that's, say, under $4 million, you probably need to wait for free agency to shake out a little bit and see if there are any bargains left at the end. Because right now, on July 2nd, I don't see anyone worth anything being willing to settle for that little. Also, the Rockets could roll that into the regular season in case there are buyout candidates at a later date and then have a little bit more than the minimum to offer, the same way they did with Josh Smith a few years ago. So it's not a lock that the Rockets use it at all, but if they do, I don't think it's going to be used imminently. The thing to watch, besides Nene, Shumpert, the small-time deals, if there's anything to watch on free agency with the Rockets, it is, of course, that Ryan Anderson situation. As I said yesterday, he's the key to unlocking Carmelo or anyone else because of his high salary figure, but the difficulty is that right now, it doesn't seem like there's a market for him. However, the deeper we go into free agency and the more some of these smaller market teams strike out, like Sacramento, Phoenix, on their bigger targets, they might be more willing to come back to the table and take Ryan Anderson. No one was going to do it on June 30th or July 1st because the entire market's out there. There's all this unlimited potential. Everyone has to take their shot at the bigger names. But now that those names are off the table, Ryan might be more movable. And as I said yesterday, at this point, it's not even really like a three-year, $60 million contract, which is what Ryan is technically owed from a financial perspective. From a salary cap perspective, it's almost like a two-year, $40 million contract, that because that 1 year, the first year, is already largely gone because so many free agents, which is the main reason you have cap space, have already signed. Especially if you're a smaller market team and you're not really in position to make a big deal at the trade deadline anyway. So I could see Ryan being more palatable in the coming days for a lot of teams, and if he is, that could be the key to the Rockets making a real effort to get after Carmelo or maybe some star that we aren't even aware of yet. So I would say stay tuned. I don't know if it's going to happen on July 2nd. We're still a little early Paul Millsap, for example, has not even signed yet, and Denver and Minnesota still in the market for him. We know Sacramento and Phoenix also had interest, at least at one point. Patrick Patterson's another guy on the market. He visited with Sacramento in theory. He could be a fit for them in a slightly lower price point than Ryan Anderson. So you have to wait to see what happens with a few other guys. I don't know if it happens today just because it's July 2nd, but relatively soon, the market for Ryan Anderson could get more realistic for the Rockets. So that would be the other thing to watch for as this first week of free agency rolls on. May not happen just this soon, but keep your eyes open just in case, because you know Daryl Morey is always scanning the wires. And as I said, when you look at the math of it, Ryan is the key to unlocking a third star for the Rockets. That's just the only real salary way to make it work at this point in time. So, with that said, I'll wrap up this brief Sunday morning episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. Again, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Once again, PJ Tucker, late last night, the news, he is officially the newest member of the Houston Rockets. It looks like he'll be accepting the remainder of Houston's mid-level exception, 4 years, $32 million. He'll be your backup small forward, a little bit of backup power forward as well. Very good defender, decent shooter. Rockets wanted more 3-and-D. They wanted more defense at the wing spots after Trevor Ariza. And with PJ Tucker, that's what they've gotten. Sounds like Chris Paul and James Harden were active in his recruitment, and that was a big part of why he's such a discount, a bargain rate at, well, not even the full mid-level exception, less than that, because the Rockets are using it in part on Joe Chi. So I think you guys can be very happy with the state of your Rockets this morning. He's not Andre Iguodala, but he's still a very, very good basketball player, should fit like a glove on this Rockets team in this Mike D'Antoni system. So the Rockets definitely a better basketball team with PJ Tucker, just as they were last week with the deal they made for Chris Paul. That's two big moves the Rockets made to improve themselves. And we know they want a third All-Star that's still out there in the future. But for now, I think 36 hours or so into free agency, you guys can feel very good that the Rockets have only continued to make themselves a better basketball team. So with that said, I'll go out and enjoy the rest of my holiday weekend. Hope you guys do the same, and I'll talk with you guys more if and when the Rockets have further free agency developments in the coming days.